Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be to Allah. We praise Him, seek His forgiveness. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An-Nawas ibn Sam'an, one of the companions of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I asked the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the righteousness and the evil. So the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, righteousness is to behave properly, and evil is what comes into your thought to be wrong, and you hate that people look at it or see it. From this hadith, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving a lot of weight to the morals and the good manners. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I have been sent to perfect the morals of my nation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said in his book that the messenger have come to teach you the book and the wisdom, which is the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to purify you, meaning to purify your souls from anything which is against the morals of Islam, against the morals that are ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was one of the main goals for the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the closest amongst you to me will be the closest to me in the day of judgment will be those with good morals, and the furthest away from me in the day of judgment will be those with bad morals, with bad manners. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that one would reach the degree of the fasting man who never breaks his fasting and who prays all nights, and he does this every night. So one with good morals will reach the rank of this man who fasts all days and prays all nights, which means that being good and behaving good according to the manners of Islam, according to the standards of Islam, is something which is really appreciated by Islam. And the good morals in Islam mean that one should behave with his brothers in the best way. He should behave with them in the manner that he likes to be treated. He should treat them with respect, treat them with pleasure and smiles, and with truthfulness and honesty. He should not cheat them, he should not lie to them, and so on. So These are the manners of Islam that one must follow. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the real Muslim is the one who all the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. Meaning that the real Muslim is the one who does not harm the other Muslims, neither by his tongue nor by his hands. Now, as we know that this is a fundamental issue of Islam, but we should know that this is not all Islam, because some people think that Islam is just this, and that is to behave good regardless of doing anything else. And of course this is not Islam, this is a different religion. Islam is a religion which starts first of all with the correct faith, that you have the right faith in Allah, the right faith in God. If you associate any partners to God in your faith, then these good morals will not be beneficial to you in any way. They will not be beneficial to you in the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reward you anything for being good with people if your faith is wrong. If you associate partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all your actions will be cancelled, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لئن أشركت لا يحبطن عملك. That when you commit shirk, you associate any partner to Allah and His worship, then all your actions will be cancelled. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. That regarding the actions of the disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them into dust in the day of judgment. He will turn them into nothing. They will be nothing. And they will not be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, being good is something which is very important in Islam. But it is not everything. As a matter of fact, when someone is good to other people and he does not pray, for example, even though if he claims to be a Muslim, then his morals will not be beneficial for him, and he will not be rewarded for those good morals. Even if he was the most honest man and the most truthful man, all these things will not benefit him if he does not make his prayers, for example. So this is very important to know, because many people, due to their exaggeration, they make Islam as if it is just to be good to the people, and that's it. And this is not Islam. This is some other religion which is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one thing. Another thing is that some people do not give the proper weight to good morals. They might emphasize some other aspects of Islam, but when you watch their manners, their behaviors with people, you will find them, for example, unjust to others. You will find them cheating in their treatments. You will find them breaking the promises unnecessarily, and so on. So this is something which is wrong, of course. And the Muslim has to balance, because Islam is a whole. You cannot divide it. You cannot say, I will take one part of it. I will just take the morals and leave the rest. You cannot do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept from a Muslim except to take all Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered us, saying, أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً, that you must enter Islam altogether. You must take Islam altogether. You cannot divide it like the Jews did in the past, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed them by saying to them, أَفَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in some of the book and reject the rest? Because the Jews used to take part of their book and act by it. And then when it comes to another part which is against their desires, they would change it and they will not take it. And unfortunately, many Muslims nowadays fall into this great mistake and into this rejection. Actually, this is rejection, because Allah have described the action of the Jews to be rejection. He said, أَفَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ. You are rejecting some of the book. So when the Muslims act by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in, for example, some aspects of this religion, like prayers, fasting, zakat, and then they disregard the book of Allah in other aspects, like, for example, the morals, politics, economics, and so on, then they are dividing this religion and they are rejecting some of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be falling into the same mistake that the Jews have fallen into. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have emphasized the good morals, and he especially emphasized shyness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for every religion there is a specified good moral, and the moral of our religion is shyness. And he also said, shyness is a branch of faith. Shyness is a branch of faith. Unfortunately, nowadays we live in a situation where many nations in the West, for example, look at shyness as something which is wrong. As a matter of fact, they look at shyness as a disease. And when their daughter is shy, for example, she is shy from going with male friends, they take her to a psychiatrist to treat her. and they think that she is sick or something. When their son is shy from going out with girls, for example, then they think that this is a disease and they take him to a doctor. Now, this is not in Islam. In Islam, the woman and men, they have to be shy to a certain degree. And the woman, for example, has to be shy not to mix with men. She has to be shy not to go out in her full beauty. She has to be shy not to raise her sound loudly unnecessarily. She has to be shy not to come in the scene of men who are strange to her unnecessarily. Now, this is from Islam, and this is from faith. This is not something which is against the easiness of this religion, because this religion, as Allah have ordered it, is easiness. And if we go by the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as stated in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is easy as Allah has stated it. We don't make its easiness. It is not us who introduce the easiness to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not us who introduce the easiness to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The religion of Allah, as was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as was applied by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions at their time, this is the same religion that must be accepted and that must be followed by us and by the nations which come generations later. There is no other religion. There is no room for changing the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This does not mean that there is no room for new issues. There are many issues which might happen which were not dealt with in the past. We can see the jurisdiction from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning those issues. But what we are speaking are the fixed issues, the issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have already stated his rule for. Those rules cannot be changed by us. So those rules cannot be changed due to a certain time or a certain situation. They must be applied just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered us. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We talked last time about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the behaviors and the manners of the Muslim, the good morals of the Muslim. And we mentioned that the behaviors in Islam have a great importance, and that the Muslim should behave properly according to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, for example, he should be keeping his promises, truthful, honest, and so on. We spoke about shyness as the moral of Islam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned. And we spoke about the fact that shyness is looked at as deficient, as a deficiency by the disbelievers in the West. They look at shyness as something which is against the proper behavior. But the Muslim have to take his teachings from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said about shyness that shyness will not result except in good. And in another hadith he said shyness is good altogether. So some people might be shy in an improper situation. For example,
someone might be shy from speaking the truth in the proper time. Now, this is not shyness, actually. This is cowardice, and it should not be considered as shyness. If someone, of course, can speak out, and he does not do so in the proper time, then this is cowardice. But if he cannot do so, to a certain danger, then he is allowed not to do so. For example, some people become shy from ordering the good or from forbidding the evil, and this kind of shyness is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ordering the good and forbidding the evil must be something that we always do as much as we can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about this nation, "You were the best nation, for you were ordering the good, forbidding the evil, and believing in Allah." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described this nation to be the best nation when it was establishing this fundamental aspect of Islam, and that is ordering the good and forbidding the evil. So when someone sees something wrong and he keeps quiet about it, when he can talk about it, when he can change it, then this is not shyness, this is cowardice, and this is against the teachings of Islam. And also amongst the good morals that Islam teaches us is that when you are three people, for example, two of you do not talk separately while the other one is alone. Now, this is an example of how Islam emphasizes for us to respect the feelings of others. Because when you two, for example, speak together, letting him alone, then he might be thinking that you are saying something against him, and this might hurt his feelings, and this might cause bad relations amongst the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you are three, let not two of you speak alone, and let the third one by himself. But if you mix with the people, that means when you become four or more, then that's okay. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said regarding this subject, that is not to hurt the feeling of someone. When someone comes into a place, he should not make someone else leave his place so that he sits in his place. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that we must respect each other, and we should not hurt each other's feelings. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizes to us that we should respect each other's feelings and not hurt each other's feelings, then of course we should respect someone's dignity, someone's for example, someone's wealth, and so on. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to hurt someone's feeling, then how about hurting him in his wealth or hurting him in his dignity? And that is worse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned in many hadiths regarding injustice. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have forbidden injustice on himself, and he has made it forbidden amongst you. So do not be unjust to each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said also, do not envy each other, and do not hate each other, and do not give your backs to each other, and do not buy when your brother have bought something, you don't go and add extra price to change that, to change what he has bought, because this will create friction between the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have made sure that the relations amongst Muslims be smooth, and that Muslims should not hate each other or be against each other. He said, be the slaves of Allah as brothers. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And this is the fundamental that must be followed by Muslims. First of all, they must be worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that they must worship Allah alone, not to be amongst those who associate partners to Allah in one way or another. So if someone who associates partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this man is not your brother, and you cannot treat him as your brother, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be brothers on the basis of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. So the brotherhood is based on worshipping Allah alone, and the brotherhood is based on the right faith, and the brotherhood is based on Islam, that the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He does not do injustice to him, and he do not let him down. So these are the morals that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, and he said, the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He does not do injustice to him, he does not let him down, and he does not look down at him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, righteousness or piety is here, meaning in the heart. He said that three times. He said, piety is here, or righteousness is here. What does this mean? It means that the faith is the foundation of our actions, and that if our faith is correct, then we are pious, while if our faith is not correct, then we are not pious. So for someone who has a faith which is not according to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he his actions are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith should not be understood wrong, as many people do. Some people disregard the actions, and they disregard obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you face them with this, they say the faith is in the heart. So what they mean is that our faith is in our heart, and that is enough, meaning that there is no need for something else. There is no need for actions, there is no need for prayers, there is no need for fasting, there is no need for such and such. This is not Islam. This is against Islam. So if you notice in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions faith, he immediately mentions after it the right actions, so that you know as a Muslim that obeying Allah and doing the right actions is something which necessarily comes out of the right faith. If you have the right faith, then this faith must result in actions, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith regarding the heart, saying that if it is healthy, everything else will follow, and if it is spoiled, everything else will follow accordingly. So if someone says that faith is in the heart, or my heart is clean, or so on, then he should be aware that if he is true, that he has the right faith in his heart, then that must result in actions, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have emphasized. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in this hadith, saying that it is enough of a sin to look down at your Muslim brother. And then he says, everything in the Muslim is sacred to the other Muslims: his blood, his wealth, and his dignity. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it is enough of an evil just to look down at a Muslim, to look down at a Muslim, this is an evil. This is enough of an evil, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if looking down at a Muslim is enough of an evil, then how about cussing at him? Then how about beating him? Then how about cheating him? Then how about killing him? This is, of course, worse and worse. And this shows us how we Muslims must understand that our relations must be based on the fact that we are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the fact that you cannot look down at a Muslim does not mean that if he does something wrong, you don't look down at him for doing that wrong thing. If he is doing something wrong against the religion of Islam, then you look at him accordingly. But if this man is just a poor man, or he is from such and such nationality, you cannot look down at him because of those things. He is a Muslim, and that is enough. So you cannot look down at a Muslim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with the best morals and to make us amongst those who listen and follow the best. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be to Allah, I praise Him, seek His forgiveness. He who Allah guides, no one can lead him astray, and he who Allah lead him astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were talking about the manners of the Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the sign of the hypocrite are three, or the signs of the hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he lies, and when he promises, he breaks his promise, and when he is given a trust, he does not keep that trust. And in another narration, he said, when he argues, he becomes unjust in his argument. He transgresses in his argument. Now, those morals are described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the behaviors of the hypocrite. And hypocrisy, as you know, is a very bad disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book have said that the hypocrites will be in the lower part of hellfire, meaning that the hypocrites will be worse than the rest of the rejecters of faith, and they will be facing a punishment which is more severe than the rest of the rejecters of faith. Now, hypocrisy have 2 degrees. The first degree, which is the most dangerous and which equals rejection of faith, which equals kufr and shirk, and that is the great hypocrisy. For someone to hate something which is from this religion, to hate something which is ordered by Allah, to hate something which is in the book of Allah or the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is great hypocrisy. To hate it means that you don't like the fact that Allah have ordered this order, or the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered this thing. You wish if it was otherwise. This is hypocrisy. And if you hate anything from this religion, knowing that it is from this religion, then your faith will become nullified. You will not become a Muslim. You will become a mushrik, a kafir. Also, to disbelieve in anything of this religion, to disbelieve in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is great hypocrisy, which will take you out of this religion. To disbelieve in any verse or any hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it is a true hadith, this will make you a hypocrite. even if you don't show this to the Muslims, but you have this in your heart, then this is hypocrisy, and this will not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you die without repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it. Also, when someone becomes happy with the situation where Islam does not have the upper hand, the Islamic rules from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not applied, when someone becomes happy with such a situation and he wishes that this situation remains, then this is hypocrisy, because this goes back to the hatred for Islam, and hating anything from Islam is rejection of faith. And similarly, when someone becomes unhappy when Islam has the upper hand, and when the Islamic rules are applied, the Islamic Sharia is applied, he becomes unhappy and dislikes this situation and wishes that this is not the case, then this is great hypocrisy, which takes him out of this religion. So this is the hypocrisy which is considered to be a rejection of faith. But in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the characters of the hypocrite, or some characters which are considered to be the characters of the hypocrite. So the Muslim must avoid those characters and not fall into them, because these are the characters of the hypocrite. Signs of the hypocrite: when he speaks, he lies, and when he promises, he breaks his promise, and when he is trusted for something, he does not keep his trust, and when he argues, he becomes unjust, and he transgresses in his argument, he becomes unfair. You find this so much nowadays. You find so many people, especially amongst the disbelievers, who lie. They don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't fear hellfire, they don't fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for this, so they lie. As long as they don't get caught, they will be lying. So a Muslim must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before fearing anything else. The Muslim should not consider the fact that he can lie to others, he should not consider this to be smartness and cleverness. This is not smartness. This is wickedness. This is something which is against Islam. Some people might call this politics, but this is not politics. Politics is to behave according to the way which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot lie and cheat and break your oath and break your trust and consider this to be smartness and cleverness. This is not the way of the Muslims. This is the way of the hypocrites. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that cussing at a Muslim is wickedness, and fighting him is rejection of faith, kufr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes in this hadith that Muslims amongst themselves should not be cussing at each other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ليس المسلم باللعان ولا بالطعان. The Muslim is not someone who has the habit of cussing at people and cursing people, or cussing at things and cursing things. These are the behaviors of the wicked. Those are the behaviors of the non-Muslims. They use cussing in all their dealings, in all their treatments, even in their jokes, even in calling upon each other, even in their regular talks, they use cussing. And Muslims have to avoid this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْجَهْرَ بِالْقَوْلِ مِنَ السُّوءِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like to say or to speak, does not like for us to say things which are not good, to cuss at each other,
to say bad words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this. And the Muslim should not have this character, and he should know that these are the characters of the disbelievers, and that we must avoid the characters of the disbelievers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم." He who resembles any nation or any people, then he is one of them. So this is very dangerous. The Muslims should not take the lifestyle of the kafirs and act like them in whatever way they speak, whatever way they do. This is not the proper way. This is not the way of Islam. The Muslims must only take from kafirs what is good, what can be considered to be good. They cannot take anything else from them. They cannot take the kafirs as their examples. The Muslims should be the leaders of the world in their faith. They should be the leaders of the world in their morals. They should be the leaders of the world in everything, even in the worldly matters like manufacturing, like science, like all other things. The Muslims should be leaders as much as they can. But when it comes to morals and when it comes to ideals and behaviors and faith, the Muslims indeed must be the leaders of the world. And the Muslims must be callers to Islam, because this is their duty, to call others to Islam. How can you call others to Islam when you speak badly as they do, and when you behave badly as they do? No one will accept what you tell them. No one will accept what you tell them if you lie and cheat and do this and that, those things which are against Islam. So the fact that the Prophet ﷺ says that fighting your Muslim brother is kufr or rejection of faith, this shows how bad this thing is, that the Muslim should not fight his Muslim brother and should not kill his Muslim brother. And as we see, unfortunately, nowadays, for example, some so-called Muslims kill other Muslims without a just cause. And this is indeed a great sin. And this is because the lack of faith, the true faith, the lack of the true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right path and to the best morals. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. One greater degree, and that is the degree which equals rejection of faith, and the other one which is lower than that. And it is not considered to be rejection of faith, but it is something which is bad. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the signs of the hypocrite are three or four, as in another true hadith. Today we will speak of another disease, and that is what is called the smaller shirk or the smaller association. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I fear most for you the small shirk," and he explained it. He said the show off, that is to do something out of show off. You do something because you want others to see you and praise you for it, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say something to be praised for, you say something to be rewarded for by any worldly gain. And of course, any action which is not purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be accepted by Allah. There are two conditions which will make your action accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first condition is the purity of intention. And the second condition is that your action must be according to the orders of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book,
at the end of Surah Al-Kahf. He who wishes to meet with his Lord, let him do a righteous action and let him not associate any partner to God in that worship or in that action. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed those who completely submit to their Lord while they are doing good, meaning that you submit in purity of intention, and in your action you make your action purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it is said in the true hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates about Allah saying, I am most rich of all partners. Anyone who does any action for other than me, or he associates a partner to me in that action, then I will let him treated by his partner. In other words, I will not deal with his action, I will not accept his action. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith says that he fears for his nation this great disease, and that is the small shirk. And he said it is the show off, because so many people, and maybe every one of us, is subject to this great disease. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned that he fears for us the most. He fears this disease for us the most, because every one of us is subject to falling into this great disease. And if we do something with riya or with show off, then this action will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the Muslim has to be very careful about any saying which he says or any action that he does, to make sure that this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when you make the congregation prayers, and you make those prayers just to be seen in the mosque, just to be praised by people, so that the people say, look at this man, he does not miss any prayer in the mosque, and you do it just for that, then this is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you do it for the sake of Allah, and partially for the sake of this reason, it will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you do it purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will be accepted, and you will not be harmed if someone says that you are regular in the mosque or something like this, because you did not intend this. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I fear most for my nation the small shirk, which means that there is small shirk and there is also a great shirk. Just like when we spoke about hypocrisy, there are 2 degrees of hypocrisy. Also shirk, there are 2 degrees. The higher degree, the greatest shirk, is the shirk which will never be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah will never forgive shirk. And that is the great shirk, to associate partners to Allah in worship, for example. To associate partners to Allah in worship can be divided into 4 categories. First, to associate a partner with Allah in asking. If you ask other than Allah something which cannot be asked except from Allah, for example, if you ask someone to cure your disease or to give you success or anything which cannot be done except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have committed shirk. Just like the Arab pagans used to ask their idols those things. Some people nowadays ask the saints or the so-called awliya, or they ask Allah through someone, through those awliya. They don't ask Allah directly and Allah alone, but they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through some people who are dead or alive. And this is shirk. This is the greatest shirk. This is the same shirk as the Arabs had in the pagan time. Because the Arabs said, we do not worship them, meaning the idols, but to bring us closer to Allah. And in another verse they said, they are our steps to Allah, or they are our intercessors to Allah. In other words, they carry our call to Allah, and they call Allah for us. So this is the same shirk, and the Muslims, or those who call themselves Muslims nowadays and do this, they are actually committing a great action, and that is the great shirk. And we have to be careful, and we have to warn those ignorant people who do this, because it is our responsibility if we know their great mistake and we do not tell them. This is indeed a great danger for us and them. And also the other category is the shirk in love, to love other than Allah, like loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Amongst the people are those who take partners with Allah. They love them as much they love Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described the action of those people to be associating partners with Allah. He said they love them as much as loving Allah. If you love someone, whoever he might be, to the degree that you don't dare to disobey him in anything, even if he orders you to do something which is against the order of Allah, then you are loving him like loving Allah and more. So this is shirk, this is great shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said about the Jews and Christians, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. He said that the Jews and Christians have taken their scholars, their rabbis, their monks as lords besides Allah. How did they do this? One of the companions, who used to be an Arab Christian, when he heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite this verse, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله, he said, O Messenger of Allah, we were not worshipping them. He understood from this verse that worship is to pray for them and to prostrate for them and to kneel for them. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, we were not worshipping them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, didn't you were following them in making the legal things illegal and making the illegal things legal for you? You were following them in making the unlawful lawful and the lawful unlawful, and you were following them, you were accepting their legislation for you, even though their legislation was against the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, yes, he said, that is worshipping them, that is worshipping them. So if we Muslims do the same thing with our scholars, for example, or anyone else, scholars or anyone else, we follow their orders, just like their orders are the orders of Allah, we follow their orders if their orders are against the orders of Allah and His Messenger, then we are worshipping them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great shirk, the shirk in love, to love someone like loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to obey someone when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept someone's rule, someone's judgment, whoever he might be, which is against the rule of Allah and against the judgment of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also the fourth category of this shirk is the intention to do all things for the sake of this life and not to wish anything in the hereafter. This is great shirk. This will take someone from this religion. This will take you out of this religion, because you don't seek anything in the hereafter for what you do. You only seek this life. Now, this is regarding the great shirk. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is mentioning the small shirk. Now, when we speak about the small shirk, it is small because it will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because the one who does it will not be in hellfire forever. If he goes to hellfire for his sin, he will not be in hellfire forever. But it is not small in itself. It is a great sin that we should avoid. It is like any of the great sins, and maybe worse than the other great sins, because it is called shirk and it is called association. So this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give us an example of the small shirk. He says ar-riya, show off, to show off in your saying or in your action, to seek people's praise, to seek something worldly in your action, then this is a small shirk, and this will cancel the reward for your action. Now there are other forms of small shirk. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who swears by other than Allah, he has committed shirk. To swear by other than Allah, like some people swear by their souls, some people swear by their children, some people swear by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people swear by the Kaaba, some people swear by any other creature. So this is shirk, and this should be avoided. This is a great sin that we must avoid, and we must warn the people against. And no one should say, I don't mean such and such, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have forbidden us to do so. So we must stay away from this and not do it. And also, amongst the things which are considered to be small shirk, to depend on the worldly reasons that we do. For example, you as a Muslim, when you get sick, you are encouraged to seek the medicine. You are encouraged to go to the doctor, but you have no right to depend on the medicine or the doctor. You have to depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in healing. You cannot depend on the reason that you do, the cause that you commit. You should seek the medicine, you should go to the doctor, but you cannot depend on such things. This is considered small shirk in Islam. There are also some sayings which are considered to be small shirk. To say, I trust Allah and you, I depend upon Allah and you, this is forbidden in Islam. You cannot say this. This is like equalizing Allah and his creature. You should say, I trust Allah alone, I depend on Allah alone. Or if you want to say, you can say, for example, you say, by Allah's will, and then your will, or such and such. So you must use this word, and then. You cannot say, by Allah's will and your will, or I depend upon Allah and you. This is against Islam and against the monotheism in Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.